It's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
The state legislature was busy this week, taking on bills covering everything from Planned Parenthood funding to property rights.
And early this week, a report came out that says schools in Wisconsin are still using restraints to handle misbehaving kids, nearly 5 years after a law was passed to cut down on that practice.
To help us recap those stories and more, we're joined by Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start on a story with some breaking developments today. We're hearing that the Department of Corrections Chief Ed Wall has resigned. And this is maybe not related to, we don't know, the Lincoln Hills School Correctional Institution situation. A lot of news. Bring us up to date. What's the latest on this story?
Sure. So it feels like it must be related somehow, right? It's a little bit unclear exactly how. The news from today is that Ed Wall has resigned, the Department of Corrections Secretary. The news says that he'd resigned February 5th, but it was just released today, and that his last day is going to be at the end of this month. So there's a lot we don't know. This is just out. We know that that Governor Walker announced that John Lichter, former DOC secretary, is going to take his place. And we know that this comes in the midst of this this long and ongoing process of investigation into Lincoln Hills. So it's not clear to what extent these things are related, but it probably some people would take it as a good sign that there will be new leadership at the top.
Well, Lincoln Hills is this youth correctional facility in northern Wisconsin. Accusations of widespread problems there, abuse, an ongoing scandal, a raid by the state's Department of Justice. Now we hear the FBI is going to be investigating this from here on out.
Right. The allegations go back for years. Another piece of news this week is that newly reported that a Racine County judge warned the Walker administration back in 2012 of severe safety issues at this youth prison. That was only a year after the Wisconsin had consolidated its two youth prison facilities into one at Lincoln Hills. So that is ongoing. It certainly looks like there were at least some warnings. Racine County even took the, I think, sort of extraordinary step of stopped sending youth offenders to Lincoln Hills following these complaints that were voiced by a judge. The governor's staff this week said that the governor himself was not informed of that complaint, but that people in the administration obviously were. And so, with the FBI heading up that investigation, it feels like there is a lot more to come on that.
And that complaint from a Racine judge, he said, we've seen, I'd be very hesitant to send any more youth to this facility. The case involved a sexual assault, a violent physical assault. Apparently, staff waited to take the victim to the hospital until after a basketball game at the facility. This story, Rob, just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, the sexual assault involved two juvenile offenders. Juvenile on a juvenile is the according to the allegation. But the judge was sufficiently horrified by it. I mean, the language in his letter, the indifference in this sordid tale is absolutely inexcusable. And yeah, it feels like there were some who were trying to sound the alarm for some time.
So we'll be watching this story as we go on, Rob. We're talking to Robert Mentzer with USA Today Network Wisconsin about the top news stories in Wisconsin this week. Well, moving on to the state legislature, assembly getting ready to adjourn soon. Big rush of activity there, including legislation related to Planned Parenthood funding. What are the details on that?
Yeah, busy week in the assembly, huh? They were passing a bunch of bills. So one of this is a high priority of the Republican majority. They have cut some funding to Planned Parenthood. It amounts to about $4.5 million in cuts. The way they did it was by limiting what any abortion provider can bill Medicaid for. It's kind of technical. A federal law already prevents abortion providers from billing for abortions or costs relating to abortion. abortions. This bill would further limit what those clinics can bill for. They can bill for certain costs around the acquisition and dispensing of birth control drugs. In Wisconsin, Planned Parenthood is the only abortion provider. It has locations in Madison, Milwaukee, and Appleton that provide abortions. So this is a bill that is the way it ended up shaking out is pretty narrowly targeted to that organization, a political opponent of Republican majority.
And this is federal money that passes through the state. I've seen some analysts say that Wisconsin may not be able to do this.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's so. First of all, it's to say that this bill passed the Assembly. It has not passed in the Senate. If it does pass in the Senate, it seems very clear that Governor Walker would sign it, and then is when the legal challenges would begin. Right there, it's very likely that it would be challenged.
Moving on, private property rights legislation related to the DNR development, mostly lakeside property, waterfront property. What's the story there?
Yeah, so the basic way to understand it is this is a package of bills that would give landowners power to do stuff and reduce the power of the Department of Natural Resources on certain regulations. The Republicans basically who do favor the bill say that that the regulations make it hard for property owners to do even basic things like extending a pier or repairing a boathouse. But the environmentalists and opponents of this bill argue that it goes quite a bit further than that. There's one provision that would allow lakefront property owners to dredge up to 25 cubic yards of sediment. That is helpfully explained as several dump trucks worth of sediment per year, which they say is enough to mess with fish habitats and water quality and potentially do some damage to those environments.
And before we move on from the legislature, a bill passed by the Assembly, I believe, and headed to the Senate would change landlord-tenant relations. What changes would we see if this goes through?
Yeah, so this is a bill that would expand the power that landlords have over tenants. It would make it easier to evict tenants if the tenants damage property and don't pay for repairs. A particularly controversial measure in it is that it would also allow landlords to kick tenants out if they're caught engaging in a crime. And who is the judge of that? The landlord is the judge. It doesn't require that the tenant be arrested, charged with a crime, much less convicted. So advocates, understand. Understandably, are objecting that it basically makes the landlord sort of judge, jury, and executioner on that judgment. This also is just passing in the Assembly, moves to the Senate, sort of not clear whether it's going to end up getting a vote there or not.
And then another big headline this week dealt with use of restraint in Wisconsin schools, apparently in violation of state laws. So what are advocacy groups saying about this?
Yeah, so this was a new report released based on information from the 2013-2014 school year, so the last full school year, found that nearly 3,600 students in 381 districts around the state had been restrained or isolated for sort of disruptive behaviors during class. That follows a 2011 law that explicitly limited the use of physical restraints, the use of isolation, and banned some forms of restraints entirely. So the argument from the advocacy group Disability Rights Wisconsin and others is that this isn't being followed, or that this use of these restraints are still happening in a widespread way. A somewhat surprising bit from this, it's surprising to me at least, bit from this report is that this is most common in the elementary school level. And so they argue that in a lot of cases, these are kids with special needs, kids with learning disabilities and other special needs, and that at that young age, it's doing damage to those kids instead of sort of getting them the help that they need.
Have we heard anything from school officials as to why this change hasn't happened after that law was passed?
So not as such. One part of it is that there are still school districts are still allowed to restrain or isolate students. The law said, for instance, that they must do it for based on safety, student safety, not just sort of disruption. So some of these, the districts may argue that they are acting in the interest of student safety, the student's own safety in some cases. It's a broad look. It's also the data is a little bit unclear. There were they put out open records requests to 450 districts, but there were a bunch that didn't respond, a number that didn't provide data, and it's not it was hard to break down by sort of per capita. But the point being made in this report is that this is still a practice that is happening, and if we no one should think that the 2011 law sort of took care of this. They still argue that it's something that needs to be looked at.
Rob, thanks as always for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
That's State News Editor Robert Mentzer with USA Today Network Wisconsin helping us recap the biggest news stories from around the state this week.